You have your Bibles this evening. Open them to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Matthew, chapter number 13, and we're going to be reading starting in verse number 44. Matthew, chapter number 13, and verse number 44, and we're just going to read the one verse. If you found it, just say amen so I know you're awakened with me. Oh, good. Amen. All right, Matthew, chapter number 13, and verse number 44, I'm going to go ahead and read it. If you'd follow along, it says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each and every person that made it out to your house tonight. God, I ask that you just bless the remainder of the service. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit and hide me behind the cross, Lord. Help me to say nothing that I shouldn't and only what I should, God. And I ask that you just use this passage to speak to our hearts and our lives. God, help us all leave today with a renewed dedication in our lives and our service to you, Lord. We love you, Father, and thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, there in the verse, it describes a man that he's gone out into a field and he's found himself a treasure. Now, I'd like you to imagine that this was you. Take just a moment and imagine for a second that on your way to church today, you decided you were going to walk. Maybe it wasn't raining and you were walking along the side of the road and you get to a certain point where it'd be easier if you were just to cut through a field instead of walking around the perimeter. And so as you do, you walk around and you see that there's this large box embedded down in the ground in the center of that field. So you stoop down and you brush aside the dirt and the leaves and you open up the box to find that you have just stumbled upon an incredible treasure. A treasure unlike anything you've ever seen or imagined before. You start looking at that treasure and adding up the value and you realize that you've just found a treasure worth millions. It's a life-changing sum for you. But as you're sitting there thinking about everything you're going to run and buy, you realize that the claim that you have to that treasure is a pretty weak one. That property does not belong to you. The treasure does not belong to you. And aside from the fact that you stumbled across it, you really have no claim at all. So you start thinking about it. What am I going to do? How can I get this treasure? How can I keep it for myself? And you come up with a plan. The very first thing you do is you take it and you hide it. If you look, this is exactly what's happening in the parable. You bury that hole just a little, dig the hole deeper and bury it a little bit better there and make sure it's better hidden so no one else can stumble across it in the same way that you did. Then you go to find the owner of the field. Because your plan is that if you can buy that field, then what's in the field will belong to you. You'll have rightly gained that treasure. There's no disputing it at that point. So you go and you find the owner and you ask him, you say, I'd like to buy your field. I don't really care what you're going to charge for. You give me a price. I'll get you the money. It'll be sold. And you ask him and they say, okay, fine. If you really want it so bad, I guess I'll sell it to you. But I want $30,000 for the field. Now, this is not prime real estate. This field has no intrinsic value of its own. It is an empty and otherwise worthless field. You know what? It's worth it to you, though. At $30,000, that's easy to get, you know, compared to that treasure. So you shake his hand, you say, deal, I'll be back with the money. And you go to the bank and you pull up your statement just to see how much you have in there. And you look and you have $2.23. You are broke. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Some of us are in that position this morning or this evening. Uh-huh. I understand. So you don't have the money. So if you want to buy that field, you decide that I guess the easiest way to do it would probably be to sell a few things so you could get it. That's exactly what happened here. That's what's happening in this passage. Now, if it's me in this situation, I suppose the thing that I own, I'd probably sell first my vehicle. So church, just over here in the parking lot, we've got it's a Hyundai Santa Fe, and it's for sale because I'm trying to go and buy me a field. Can I share a blessing with you, church? God gave us this car when we started Deputation. My wife and I, we were praying about it. We needed a vehicle, and we were going to go and, you know, buy the classic minivan that all the missionaries are supposed to drive. But right before we did, God just provided. It's been so good to us. I can't praise him enough. God is so good, isn't he? He really is. But here's the thing. As important as this vehicle may be to my wife and I for what we do as we travel, you know, I think I could give it up so that I could have that treasure of millions. You understand? And it wouldn't be much of a sacrifice for me either. I think I could do it with a big smile on my face. Because anything that I'm giving up, it's not nearly as valuable as what I have to gain. Does that make sense? Now, that car's not worth $30,000. Not even worth half that. I'd have to keep selling some stuff. But you know what? I'd sell anything. You can go to my house. I'd give you the bedroom furniture. You can have the couch and living room. Anything and everything you wanted, it'd be for sale so that I could go and buy that field. I tell you what, I would sell the shoes off of my feet and the jacket off of my back if that's what it takes. Whatever you wanted, it's for sale so that I could go and buy that field. I tell you what, ladies, if you decide that you like my wife's jewelry, I will just hold her down. And you just come take the earrings right out of her ears. Those are for sale too. Yeah, she's like, uh-huh, just try it. Yeah, uh-huh. No, I'm pretty sure if I asked nice enough, you'd surrender it, right? Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because the treasure's just that valuable. And anything that I might have to sacrifice, anything that I might have to give up to get it, well, it's not much of a sacrifice as it is an investment in something immensely better. You're probably starting to figure out where I'm going with this. Now look back to the passage there and notice, what does the Bible say that this treasure is? If you look there at the beginning, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field. Church, let me declare something to you. Let me declare the great value of the kingdom of heaven. I can't even begin to describe it. There is no earthly term or earthly thing that I could ever use to compare to the value of the kingdom of heaven. I mean, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? The kingdom of heaven is just that valuable. I don't think I have to convince anybody of that, do I? Man, it's just that valuable. Here's the question that I really believe that the Lord was asking when he gave us this parable. He was asking us this. If it makes sense for a man to give up anything and everything he has to in pursuit of this earthly treasure of great value, then what are we willing to do in pursuit of the kingdom of heaven? If it makes sense for a man to give up anything and everything he has to in pursuit of this earthly treasure of great value, then what are we willing to do in pursuit of the kingdom of heaven? You know, in the New Testament, the Scripture reminds us over and over and over again that for us as believers, that our treasure is not of this earth. It waits for us in heaven. If you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First is the kingdom of God, and then the earthly things. If you look earlier in the chapter, it talks about not storing up our treasures here on earth where there's thieves that break through and steal and rust and moth that can corrupt. You know those verses there? It says, but store up treasures for yourself in heaven where there are no thieves that break through and steal. There is no dust or rust and moth that can corrupt. But I tell you, over and over and over again in the New Testament, the Scripture reminds us that for us as believers, our treasure is not on this earth. It waits for us in heaven. And let me just say this, I'm not here to preach against having anything nice. I'm not here to suggest you selling your vehicles or selling everything in your house, not that at all. I'm simply here to remind you of the heavenly treasure. Oh, it is worth it all. And so many times we get caught up in this life and we're in pursuit of the things of this life and we forget that there is a far, far, far greater treasure that we can be spending our lives in pursuit of. How sad would it be in this story is if this man was here and surely everyone would say he was crazy, that if he gave up everything for this empty field, they'd look at him and say, that's a terrible business decision. You're nuts. So many times we look around and the world says, well, you don't have to be that extreme. I mean, you can have religion on the side, but to give your whole life to it, that's a little bit crazy, don't you think? They don't know what you know. They don't know about the treasure. Why in the world will we as believers let the world dictate how we're going to serve God? We're working for a heavenly treasure, something that's far greater than this world could ever understand. Church, let me just encourage you with this. Pursue the kingdom of heaven with your life. Make it the first priority. I don't know exactly what God has called you to, but in whatever it is, just serve Him wholeheartedly. Because the things of this life, well, they can't ever compare to that treasure. Now, one other thing I would like to point out here about the passage. Notice the attitude that this man had. Look there in the verse. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. The Bible says that for joy thereof, he had a big smile on his face while he was doing it. Let me ask you a question. How is it possible that this man takes everything he owns and he's dragging it to the side of the road and selling it off one by one? He has to give up everything for this. Why in the world is he happy about it? Do you want me to tell you what he's not doing? He's not dragging his things to the side of the road and going, oh, I can't believe that I had to give that up. What a sacrifice. Of course not. That doesn't make any sense. You know what he's doing? He's dragging it to the side of the road and he's going, I am just one step closer to my treasure. He's there and he's saying, one day when that treasure is mine, it'll be worth it all. Church, let me encourage you. As you serve the Lord, do it with joy, always remembering the value. So many times as believers, we take our mind off of the things of heaven and we focus on the things of this earth and we let it steal our joy because we're so focused on the sacrifice. So many times because we're worried about the sacrifice, we let it keep us from serving the kingdom of heaven, for serving God altogether. But other times we continue to serve God, but we let it steal our joy. Maybe that's you in here this evening. Maybe you're a little bit worn down and you're discouraged and you've given so much and you've worked so hard and you sacrifice and you look around and you say, the world that I'm living in, no one else is sacrificing and giving up everything that I am. Let me just encourage you, take your eyes off of that sacrifice and put it on the kingdom of heaven. I tell you what, then you'll be able to do it with some joy because you'll be focused on that treasure instead of on what you give up. If every time you gave of your tithe, of your missions or anything, you're constantly sitting there and thinking about what you could have had if you didn't give, that's probably going to take away your joy. If every time if you serve, you look and you say, well, I wouldn't have to wake up so early on Sunday mornings if I didn't serve in this ministry and this ministry. Or, I wouldn't have to spend so much time if I didn't, sing in the choir and the musicians here. And if I didn't teach a Sunday school class, and it's just a lot of work and it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. Maybe I'll just take a step back and some and let someone else serve. I've done enough. Let me just encourage you. This is not a time to take a step back. Let me tell you, the kingdom of heaven is just that valuable. And it is a treasure worth us giving anything in pursuit of it. You know, God has called my wife and I to go to Burkina Faso. But let me just tell you, anything that we might have to sacrifice to get there, it pales, first of all, in comparison to the sacrifice that our Savior made when He came down here to die for our sins. And it also pales in comparison to the treasure, the reward that waits for us in glory. You know what Jesus says there? He says He'll give us 100-fold. It says, fruits of every sacred land or houses or family, mothers, brothers, fathers, sisters, for my sake shall receive 100-fold in the kingdom of heaven. Not only did He give His life for us, but He said if we'll just serve Him, He'll give us 100 times better than anything we ever could have had. Church, let me just encourage you with those things. Pursue the kingdom of heaven with your life and do it with joy, always remembering the value. Now, I am done, but I am a missionary, so give me my one shameless plug for missions here, and then I will be done, okay? Think back to my original illustration for just a second. Imagine that I'm the one that's found that treasure, and I did everything I could to get it, but I came up very short. I didn't even have close to enough for what I needed. So when I came and I stood in front of you, church, of course, you didn't really know about it, but this time I was honest and I told you. I said, as I was walking around in the field, I found this treasure. I had hidden it there, but here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to buy it, but I can't afford it. If you can help me buy that field, then here's what will happen. The treasure will be yours as much as it is mine. That's really what missions is. Maybe you understand what I'm talking about there. I'm going to Burkina Faso, and I can't get there without churches like this one that support us. And it was exciting to me to see the different missionaries that your church supports, and to see how you support Brother Keith Shoemaker. He's a hero of mine. And all of these missionaries that you're sending around the world, let me just encourage you. One day, when you're in the kingdom of heaven, you meet a Burkina Bay believer that's there. And they're there because you sent Keith Shoemaker to go and to share the gospel with them. You meet a believer from Chile because you sent another family down there to share the gospel with them. You meet a believer from China or from India, from wherever in the world, and they're there because you sent a missionary to them to share the gospel. Let me tell you something, church. That is a real, eternal treasure that won't fade away. Hurricanes can't blow it down. It can't get flooded out. Fires can't burn it up. Tornadoes can't snatch it away. It doesn't matter how the stock market is doing. That is a real, eternal treasure that'll be there forever. Church, let me just encourage you and remind you the value of a soul. Oh, they're just so valuable. It's the only thing that can't be replaced. You can't get another one of those. We've only got a short time to get the gospel around the world because people are dying every minute. And there's so many there in Burkina Faso that need that gospel. And there's so many here in this community that I'm sure need that gospel as well. And church, thank you again so much for allowing us to be with you. I'm going to turn it over to your pastor and allow you to close with invitation as you see fit.
Our heads are bowed. Lord, would you thank you, God, so much, God, for blessing us. Lord, thank you for this wonderful place, beautiful place, God, that we may come and worship. Thank you, God, for this rain. God, I know we needed it. Lord, thank you, God, for your provision, God. Lord, go with us. Lord, no doubt there's many needs that are in this place here tonight. God, we need you to work. We need you to move. We just need to do what you do best, God. Lord, help us to honor you with our first fruits, God, as you command us in your word. Lord, thank you for a great pastor, a great friend of mine. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, go with us. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.